us can imagine what it would be like to be some of the people in that video, God, and I just can't help but thinking, what if it was my friends? What if it was my church family? What if it was my wife and my kids? What if it was me? What would I do? And so, Father, we pray with a lack of understanding today for what they may be going through, what people are going through today across the world. So, God, I pray for compassion in our hearts. I pray that you would prompt us, Holy Spirit, to pray for our family across the world, other Christians, believers who are in circumstances where they are not allowed to share your truth, share your gospel, read your word, gather publicly, or places where they can gather, but it can be shut down at any time, where people can be arrested, church buildings destroyed, families torn apart at the whim of a police officer or government official, at the whim of people who need to know you too. So we pray for softening of hearts. But Lord, we recognize that where there is persecution, your church grows stronger. And as much as we pray for those people, God, we pray for us. And we ask that as we intercede for them, we know that there are things we can learn that we don't understand, the urgency that we lack, the depth of love and community you have to have when your gatherings and lives and families are put on the line for your beliefs. The depth of understanding of theology and clinging to your word and the different things that come when we have to. May we have that. But may we be leaders in the way of interceding and praying and supporting others across the world who follow you, but live in places where they're not free to do that. Thanks, God, for organizations who have to do things covertly and get us information and videos and pictures and stories at risk of their own lives so that we might know, so that we might pray. We ask that you would answer our prayers in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it feels odd to go from that time into something else. So, at risk of making a blanket statement, I would say that probably what we're about to do feels a little slightly less important than what we've just done. But I want to encourage you with the directory. We don't just want updated photos. We want everybody's photos because we want to be able to put something out that we have 99.99% of people so that when you are wondering who is in your church family, you can look and see their name and remember that when you're in the greeting time and you don't remember their name, but then you ask it and you can go back home and be reminded. It's just a great opportunity we have. So thanks, Janine, wherever you are, for encouraging us about the Hallelujah Party. So how did our ministry night go? Some of you came here. Some of you were home. I've heard some stories. Some of you went trick-or-treating with your kids' friends' parents and other things. So what we'd love to have is for you to share some of those stories. Maybe there's someone you spoke with at the Hallelujah Party. Maybe God did something in your heart. Share that with us. Email the office. Phone it in. We won't betray any confidences. We'll try and figure out ways that we can appropriately share some of those. But it's exciting when we have some of those things. One of the things we talked about in the office this week is we have a desperate need for people to learn Spanish. My goodness, it was awesome to have so many people here, but there's a bit of a disconnect because of language. So if you know Spanish, Christmas community, Christmas dinner's coming up. We need you. We need you to help connect with our community, many of whom are of Spanish descent. So I am very excited about this month. This next couple coming months, I want to share with you a few things that are coming up, and then we'll hop on in the message this morning. So does anyone know what this Friday is? What's this Friday in KW? Anyone know? Kids, you should know. You all got bookmarks and... No. Oh, my goodness. Let's prioritize. Yes, kids are like PDD. Why is it great that there's a PD day that day? What is it? Come on. Starts with an R. Random Act of Kindness Day. Random Act of Kindness Day. So, on Friday, everybody from kids on up, our community has given an initiative that we randomly act kind to others. So I would encourage you to do that. And again, it's not bragging. You can do it anonymously. But it's awesome to hear what God is doing through our lives to others. We need to start collecting those stories and celebrating what God is doing. So, on Friday, do something random for someone else. Buy a coffee for someone. In a business, do, you know, take care of the tab of the person who's getting gas in front of you. Or I don't know. Find some way. Rake some leaves. Anything. Do something in the name of Jesus for someone else. Next Sunday is a great Sunday. We've got baptism on next Sunday morning, as well as Sylvia Snyder is going to be sharing a little bit about mentoring and discipling others. I'm very excited about that, so looking forward to a great, great week that way. November 17th, it's a Saturday night, Lindsay Miniker has produced a CD, and she's having a CD release party at KW Christian Fellowship. Anyone who's able to go that and support her, that'd be great. Good job, Lindsay. Woo-hoo. So we're just... we're glad to support her in that, in her ongoing music career. November 18th, Julie Princess sharing about her trip to Tanzania. And we'll be participating in communion that morning. And at the close of the service during the communion time, we're just making that a large open ministry time. So come with prepared hearts. Sometimes we just need a little space. I was talking to another pastor about that the other day. We just need to take some space and time to connect with God. And so we're not going to rush through things that day. We want a real open time of ministry. Michael Alamu from Christian Horizons, some of you remember he came last September and gave us a few gifts. He'll be coming again to talk about Ethiopia and Sigiri and the home that we have supported. Some of you sponsored children there. He'll be here November 25th. And we're hoping on that Sunday that we can take up a special over and above offering to send back as a Christmas gift out of them. So thank you for those of you, pile of Christmas boxes back there. We want to continue to bless and give and help. December 2nd is our annual meeting. We'll have a potluck. Everybody likes food. And our community Christmas dinner is December 8th. So a lot of things that we can get involved with. And we say all those things not because we expect all of you to do all of them. If you do, that's wonderful. But at least pick one or two things that you can be serving and blessing others. Advent begins in just 4 Sundays. Isn't that encouraging? December 2nd, it's almost here. We're looking at the gifts of Christmas this year, at joy, hope, peace, and love that you find in the Christmas story. So we've been looking at following Jesus. And many of you have taken this little card. If you haven't got one, there's lots at the back. We can get lots more. 7 marks of a follower of Jesus, called the Sevenfold Way of Following Jesus, something our denomination put together. Not an exhaustive list, but a great one, a great way to... see where you're at in your life. A great way to share with others what it means to follow Jesus. Usually when you ask someone, hey, what's a disciple? Or what does it mean to follow Jesus? You come up with this kind of vague answer. At least this is something. It's better than nothing. So it may not connect with you. We hope it does. But we've been looking at that over the past few weeks. I've begun following Jesus. And I'm dependent on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. I'm being sent by Jesus to be a blessing to others and invite them to follow him too. I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, my behaviors, my character. I'm learning to love God and love others. I'm learning the teachings of Jesus. I am helping someone, and someone is helping me to be a growing follower of Jesus. That's our focus next week. I'm participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. 7 marks of a follower of Jesus. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to jump right on in, turn to John 13. John 13, starting at verse 34. And this morning we're looking at 2 of those marks. I am learning to love God and love others, and in that, I'm participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. So we're combining the last part of that first phrase and the second first part of the second phrase. John 13, you all have your Bibles, right? Why do we read our Bibles? Because I don't want you just to believe me. I want you to see it for yourself. It's not because you get a star or because, you know, I'm watching or anything, but it helps us. John 13, verse 31. As soon as Judas left the room, why did he leave? Because they were having the Last Supper together, and he was going to set up the final details of betraying Jesus. Jesus said, "The time has come for me, the Son of Man, to enter into my glory, and God will receive glory because of all that happens to me, and God will bring me into my glory very soon. Dear children, how brief are these moments before I must go away and leave you. Then, though you search for me, you won't find me. You can't come to me, just as I told the Jewish leaders. Now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So how was it that Jesus actually showed his disciples love? Well, he saved them from a storm while they were out on a sea. He provided for their needs constantly. He trained them, taught them, pulled them aside. He called them by name and chose them. He solved lots of bickering. You ever just looked for that? How the disciples bickered amongst each other? He solved lots of bickering because he loved them. They were his family. His general demeanor towards them in choosing them and training them and loving them and spending time with them, 3 to 3.5 years with these people. He healed Peter's mother and took care of needs. John and James' mother, he talked to her, dealt with their families. He rebuked them by name. He challenged them by name. He called them by name. He got involved in the mess of their lives, and he invited them into a different kind of relationship, to be a disciple, someone who follows him, learns his teachings, and learns to be like him, and he washed their feet. So Jesus tells them to love one another. He doesn't just give them a suggestion. He gives them a command. A command. There's only 2 times in all the Gospels that Jesus gives a command. 2 times. That's it. John 13 and John 15. Same night. Same conversation. Same teaching. One is a little earlier in the evening. One is a little bit later. And he gives them the same command. So really, he only gives them one. A new command I give to you. Love one another. In John 15, if you flip over to verse 9, John chapter 15, verse 9, we can see where he speaks of this again. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey me, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father and remain in his love. I've told you this so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I command you to love one another in the same way that I love you. And here's how to measure it. Here's how to tell if you're actually loving one another, if you're actually obeying my command. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. You're my friends if you obey me. I no longer call you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. Now you are my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last. So the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. I command you, love each other. When you think of commands in the Bible, what do you think of?
Thou shalt not.
Yeah, thou shalt not, which comes from the Ten Commandments, right? Commandments. Basic, bottom line, foundational to the Judeo-Christian belief. And what are they? We have them up here. No other gods, no idols. Don't misuse the name. Observe the Sabbath. The Lord's name, observe the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Okay, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. Don't go after stuff that's not your own. But Jesus makes it clear when he teaches his disciples early on after choosing them in the Sermon on the Mount that we got it wrong. In fact, the whole Jewish system was based on figuring out a whole bunch of rules and regulations, little ones, to obey all of these 10 commands. They had well over 300, about 382 small rules and regulations to help them fulfill these 10. And Jesus says, you missed it. You missed the whole point altogether. When Moses came down off of that mountain with those 2 tablets and had 10 commandments, it wasn't just about that. And Jesus says, you know that it said don't commit murder and don't commit adultery, but he says it's not enough. God's standard is way higher than that, and you can never live up to it. In fact, what I want you to do is not even have anger in your hearts, not even have lust in your hearts for someone else. And it's like, how on earth are we going to do this? Well, apart from Jesus, we can't. It's not a list of rules that we are separated from God and we just do it on our own. It's about God with us, Jesus in us, living through us. And so Jesus gives them another command. He says, I want you to love one another. And he doesn't give a prohibitive command, you know, thou shalt not, right? He gives a positive command. Here's what I want you to do. Not something to stay away from. This is what you'll do. And if you do that, you're actually following me. So if you want to boil down my lifestyle of a disciple, of how to live, how to follow Jesus, it boils down to love. Watch this.